think of things. The trend is to have a spiritual relationship with reality. Isn't that the trend? That's not the church thing anymore. That's your thing now. Hey, baby, did you feel those vibes in there? Feel the vibes. The preacher used to use that trick. Have you got the feeling? Oh, have you got the feeling? Now they got you out there. Baby, did you get the feeling? Did you feel those vibes? First the society and then the minds of the individuals. The vibes, burning incense, smoking reefers, smelling glue. Shooting yourself up with embalming fluid. Well, they told you they were going to do that too. It was all in the plan. The embalming fluid was in the plan too. And all the other things you're using, there he is. You probably can't see him good, but there he is. That's Mr. Ancient Symbolism himself. That's the mummy from the tombs of the dead. Symbolism of Egypt, ancient Egypt. There he is, the mummy with all his wraps. One movie showed him being brought to life by the scent from boiling tuna leaves. You just load him with tea now. Ginseng tea, coltsfoot tea. Mario Magnolia Pseudopolia tea. You gone tea crazy. You're mummified. You can't use both your arms. One of them been lame. You had to walk around like this. Isn't that how they taught you to walk? You used to be in Egypt on the banks of the Nile. You used to have a great civilization along the Nile River. Ancient Ethiopia, Sudan, Mali, great kingdoms of ancient Sudan. Oh, you used to be great in Egypt. You were Pharaoh, not Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Pharaoh means exalted man in the excellence of sciences. You were high on the peak of scientific development. Your knowledge of the sciences was so great that even today, the scientists and the chemists are baffled to understand what made this paint last this long. What made this acoustic system this great? What chemicals did they use to preserve the flesh of the human being and the skin of the fruit and the beans and all of these things? So well, what wisdom they had. Now look at the master builder. He's walking around the mummy tomb. All discoordinated. Ain't nothing working right in him no more. And he's wrapped up in old rags, clothes that was made for somebody that lived 5,000 years ago. He's wearing the clothes of the ancient and don't even know what those clothes were for. Allah says in the Quran, the best dress is the dress of righteousness. Don't go crazy with these old trends that are designed just to take your money as fast as you get it. They thrive on the principle of obsolescence. They make something obsolete so you'll have to buy something different. Soon as the style get out and it catches on, they get the big money from the newness of it, another style comes out and make that one obsolete. So now you got to put down that dress. You can't go out tonight. Well, I can't go out to that party night with you, nigga. I don't have none of these old shitty clothes that you bought me last week. Then what's wrong with them, baby? They still look good. They ain't the style, fool. All the money for a good education, all the money for the children's future is going out trying to keep up with the styles of Jacobite. You should be like me and those who identify with me. They don't follow the dress. I wear what I want to wear. I have my own style. They ain't gonna take my money. Wake up. What killed the mummy? The mummy was finally killed. Isis killed the mummy. The god Isis killed him. In many of the movies, he doesn't die. They do away with him, or they burn him up. Sometimes they burn him up, but he comes right back. But Isis, she finishes him for good. She sends him back to his origin. She takes him out of this time. She denies him eternal life. And she does it with her great power of knowledge over the secular world and the spiritual world. With her great knowledge, she has the key of life, which is the key of knowledge of both secular and spiritual world knowledge. The Ankh, the old Egyptian cross, the key of knowledge. With this, but the circle there stands for universal. Let me draw it here. They gave you our crosses, but you don't know it. It's a cross like this. The meaning of this has been changed many times. People have interpreted to fit their own schemes. The meaning of this part now is not the same as it was a long time ago exactly for us today, but it has a meaning right now. T is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It means death. The spiritual used to say, on yonder's hill stands an old rugged cross, the very emblem of suffering, shame, and death. So it used to be death. The cross here. This cross. You know you can make it. That ain't no need. Yes. But now this Egyptian cross only means death if you take the top part off it. If you take the top part off it, it means death. The top part stands for the head. This is like this. The arms, the bars. The legs are together with a skirt over them. You can't see the legs. And the arms are out like this. And they're the arms of a priest. They're arms of the priest class. The wideness here is his robe. The wideness here is his robe. And the Catholic and the Protestants copied that from the ancient. And this is his skirt. His legs are together. Legs together means that he's not moving. And the Holy Quran says, on the day of judgment, you shall be marshaled before the judgment with your legs together. Telling the crooked secret establishment of religion, God has revealed your secret to Prophet Muhammad. You have your legs together. You don't move in the world to make progress in the spiritual path. You keep everything at a standstill and give the people nothing but false knowledge, lies. That's what it means to feed it together. You'll notice every leader of the secular world in the Egyptian leadership rule or government of people, when you catch them standing, you never catch them standing like this. They're always standing with one foot out. Notice that you have studied the symbolism. Go and look at it again. Get any book on Egyptian mythology. And you see the foot is out like this. Means that he's making progress in the path. Now, I wish I had a mic that I could follow around with. The left foot is out. Left foot. You step out with the left foot. What does that mean? What is this position? The position, standing position. The standing position is the thinking position. You're thinking. Left foot out means insight. I have gotten insight. Insight enable me to bring this foot up. What does this mean? Achievement. Application. Think, get insight, apply it. That's what it means. So they start off with the left foot. The left foot is not the strongest foot. Why? Because you are not motivated by insight as much as you are motivated by conscience, knowledge. Knowledge that you have already formed. So the right leg is always the strongest. But that's not how man progresses in the path of knowledge. He doesn't progress with the right foot going out first. He progresses with the weaker one going out first. Insight, the one that is not the stronger in the end of the road, but is the stronger in the beginning. Insight starts out, and it gives him some light on the path, then he brings conscience up. And he applies what he has gained by insight. Is that right? Yes. And that's the way we progress in the world. Think, insight, application, insight, application, insight, application. But Muhammad said, think five times before you speak. And I'm telling you to get insight and then apply it. Now, let's continue here on the mummy. The mummy, his feet are wrapped. And the mythology say, they explain that Ptah, the so-called P-T-A-H, is pronounced Ptah. They have another god that's spelled T-H-O-T, but it's pronounced Thought. And the English word thought comes from that word, thought. You want to find out where much of the precious knowledge that they in the language come from? Go to ancient Egypt. Now you see how come there was such a furious resentment and a bitterness in the Caucasian against our fathers when they brought them here? It was jealousy. Who put that hate, passionate hate, in the Caucasian for our people? The Jacobite. The Jacobite went to Europe and told the Caucasians, don't you know you are the children of the great Hittites who once ruled the world and conquered the blacks? And now look at them over there in Africa, bathing in scents, taking showers and clean, and wearing fine silk, just enjoying the climate, the nice climate, and the civilization they have, and got you over here in Europe as a savage. Study their history. The Vandals. The Vandals and the Jinni. Gentile didn't come all of a sudden. They were called Jinni. Jinni described their strong family order. The Vandals and the Jinni people of Europe. Living like wild, crazy animals. They did everything terrible. Drink food out of dead skulls. Drink soup and juices out of dead skulls. Milk and water from dead people's skulls. You know the story of the arena of Caesar, how he enjoyed his pleasure with his elite class, the aristocracy, by watching lions and wild beasts tear human beings flesh apart. You know that. We have a fruit that's called Indian apple and pomegranate. But there's another name for it, a Semitic name, Roman. Roman. Why they call it Roman? You go right over in East Nile and ask for Roman, they'll give you a pomegranate, if they got one. Why they call that Roman? Because it's like the Roman people. You can't enjoy them without getting blood all over yourself. You try to eat a pomegranate and blood stain red all over your hands and everywhere. And the purity is not displayed. The passions are displayed. It's red outside. You open it up, every little small particle of it is red outside, but inside there's a small peck of whiteness representing moral conscience. It's buried deep, but you can find it. The worst Gentiles, Germans or Polish people or English people, the worst ones. If you get acquainted with them, you find they're very nice. They can warm up to you. They can be very nice people. In fact, they're some of the passionate people you can find. Some of the most passionate people you can find. If you can warm up to them. But if they don't warm up to you, oh, they can be as cold. As cold. As hot ice. And hot ice is so cold it stick to you. Yeah, you know. Yeah. So this God here, Thoth, is said to have had his feet together, because they say that they guess that they hadn't invented a way to hold the legs out, that they had to make it together. Their sculpturing, art making hadn't developed to that point. They're wrong. Thoth's legs was like that to show that his concept had died. And it was just operating through the establishment secretly. They had killed it in the masses, in the public, and was using his knowledge secretly. That's why the legs are like that. Meaning there's no insight being given, and it's not being applied. It's only being thought. It's in the head of the establishment. And if you study the Egyptian religion, one God was replaced with another one, on and on and on and on. Now, if you study the world, this has been happening in the whole world. One deity is replaced by the other one, and it goes on and on. If they're successful, they're going to kill the church. They're going to kill Christianity in this country. Once they do that, they're going to give your mind to so-called humanism. Humanism, this crazy vibes you're getting. And they're going to reduce you to primitive religion, to very primitive, savage religion, having all kinds of different concepts and cults and what, if they're successful. But they're not going to be successful. This is the end. Believe me, this is the end. The Jacobite had to go for a certain distance. The World Series was a sign that his distance was completed. I believe this World Series was the 49th. And we throw 49 stones at the devil. That's all we have to throw. And again, look at the series, how it was played. The Dodgers played the Yanks. The dodgers are the company of Satan, who dodge. They never accept the confrontation. I can show you in the book where they say, never again bring out our superior weapon in war. Because they brought it out once and it was captured, taken from them. So now they don't bring their secret out in war. You wonder now how come they didn't reply to the army Elijah Muhammad? They're under a law that they cannot reply. Because they fear that if they reply, they will give you more knowledge. So they can't reply. They tried it in the early history and they lost. The people guessed their knowledge, gained more knowledge of what their thing was. And their fighting them with their knowledge only served to defeat them. So now they don't fight you with their knowledge. They fight you with their power, with their control, with their money power, with their material power, with their political power, with their education, with their call trump, their cross, and all the other things. They fight you through your senses and through your emotions and through your motivations and drive. They don't come face to face with you because you will see them and they don't want that. But don't worry. What was the coach name? Gilliam. That his name? Gilliam. But what was his nickname? The devil. The devil. The nickname of the coach for the Dodgers is the devil. And he died just before the World Series. Isn't that right? He died just before the World Series was played. And it looked like the Dodgers were going to win because they had such a jump. But the Yanks won and surprised everybody. Why did the Yanks win? Because the devil was there. How come the devil was there? Because Muhammad, Wattis D. Muhammad, is alive. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. What is the name of the pitcher who led them to the victory? Catfish Hunter. Hunter is very important. What is a catfish? A catfish is an animal that comes out of clean water, likes to mix in the mixed water. But the water that he lives in is not fit to drink, and nothing can grow in it. It has too much spirituality to grow anything. And too much corruption from the land to be fit for human drink. Human being on thirst. But he likes that kind of water. The fish that lives in corruption. The corruption of materialism and the corruption of spiritualism. And the catfish hunter led the Yanks to victory. You're looking at catfish hunter right here. I found the dirty catfish in the waters, and I pointed him out so that this America can hunt him. Study my rise into this leadership and see having the change for moral betterment in this country come with my rise. When I started off, our neighborhood was threatened by gangs, extortionists, criminals were in the mosque, criminals were everywhere. The government had received a terrible blow, the government's image has ruined. But now the moral force is growing everywhere. Why? Because God has shown his favor upon this country through me. Believe it or not. I don't want anything from you stupid people. If God wanted to satisfy me, he would send me to another universe. It ain't a human being that I've met yet on this earth so good that I love your company. You're stupid and selfish, jealous-hearted people that hate to see anybody get credit if you ain't getting the same credit. You're so narrow-minded, so crab-natured, that you rather dig up a dead man and say, this is my leader, than to accept a living man who outmeasured any dead man that was before it. That's right. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm trying to wake up your damn crazy brain. Rather than follow me, you raise up Rap Bunch. You raise up Rap Brown. You raise up Malcolm X. You raise up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You raise up anybody rather than to accept me as your leader. Gone with your crazy self. Time is running out on your kind of people. We have one more friendly monster to pull out here, and we're going to call it a close. Frankenstein. Now, this fellow, he got a bit of the Semitic language in his name. Frankenstein. And he ain't such a bad fella as long as you don't rough his feathers up the wrong way. As long as you don't rough his feathers up the wrong way, he ain't such a bad fella. He can be a fellow. He can be very nice. That's Frankenstein. Now, his problem is, in making him, they took him up when the sun was out. If they had took him up when the sun was shining, he would have been all right. But they took him up to give him life when it was cloudy. In fact, they didn't even take him up until the clouds started gathering. And when the clouds get thick, got real thick, and it got dark looking, then they raised his body up to the clouds. And when the lightning flashed, it hit a bit that controls the horse that they put through his neck, which represents his mental nature. And I'll explain what I mean. Sometimes you put something in your mouth and the mouth doesn't catch the thing and recognize it as something that shouldn't go down the throat. But it goes into the throat, and the throat just don't want it. It's too big, or it's too dry. It's too big, or it's too dry, or something's wrong with it. The throat will try to get it back up, right? Now, the mental nature is not as strong as the nature, natural nature in the body. If this thing is lucky to pass the senses and also the neck and go down into the stomach, often, if the stomach haven't been tricked and whipped out of nature, so you have to whip the stomach out of nature. If you haven't whipped the stomach out of its original nature, the stomach will have more sense than both the mouth and the throat. It throws it up. Is that right? Now, Frank He wasn't killed to that depth. He was killed just to this depth. So his senses wouldn't recognize what was happening. They bypassed his senses and fired the light of understanding into his throat, which represents his mental nature. And raised him up now with this thing in his throat, strapped down. They had to strap him down. Because when his eye come open to what they're going to bless him with, there's no telling what he's going to do. So they take him on a special trip up into the false heaven of symbolism that's like dark clouds in the minds of the people of the world. They can't understand nothing. They can't see nothing. All they know is shades them. It keeps the light of day off them. And it keeps them from being too hot under the sun of passions. What I'm talking about, the symbolic religion that you follow blindly. It shades you from the heat of passions, and it keeps you from seeing the light of day. So you can go on in your false world saying, this is it. So they take him up on the elevator, all strapped down, and when the lightning flashed, they got this bit made so it hits the two ends of it to give him a negative and a positive charge. He gets the negative things in the heavenly doctrine, and he gets the positive things in the heavenly doctrine. He gets both Jacob and Israel. I can show you in the Bible where Jacob and Israel are two different people working together as counterparts for one end. In fact, we mentioned them, but we didn't complete it, the reading that I gave you. All right. Take him up there, and when he gets this flash, he comes alive. Is that right? He comes alive. And they let him back down. He's alive. But after he comes down, then they have to train him how to behave in a human world. He still don't know how to behave in a human world. But he's alive, right? His problem is he doesn't have enough sense. And he has an inherent criminal trait. Is that right? He has an inherent, study the allegory of Frankenstein. He has an inherent criminal trait, and he was born with some mental defect. Is that right? Yes, retarded. Retarded. That's the society. And when he can walk now, and he can carry both of his hands free, but he has a problem. His hands like to stay in the form of a cross, especially when he got something to do that he really want to do bad. When he's calm, he's like this. But when he really got something he want to do bad, he can't use nothing but cross knowledge, cross power. Okay, get out of the way! Get out of my way! Mr. Frank, he's too damn frank for his own knowledge. And you notice they always have him in dark-looking clothes. Old black-looking clothes, like the priest class. Silly Protestant preachers that think they know all everything. They ain't hip to Dracula. I'll close out with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I think this will be a nice note to close out on. We don't want you to have bad dreams. The purpose of this was to exercise, not to create nightmares, but to bring those evils out so you won't have any more bad dreams. So let us stop on a pleasant note, because Rudolph is coming. I can hear his bells now. Now, when he comes, he says, ho, ho, ho. What does he mean? Ho, ho, ho. Again, a play on two things. Remember, it's always a play on two things. And since I throw my fingers up a lot, let me show you what this victory means. That exposes to Satan himself now. It's this. Blast. Use influence through language. Influence through the language of words. To blast the nature, the mental, the mind, the conscience, and the spirit of the society. So with false doctrine, they break down the wall. There's a good wall and a bad wall. The good wall keeps out evil. The bad wall keeps out good. So it has two applications, as every other thing has in the verse, in verses or in the hadith. So the good meaning is that you blast. This consciousness, this mind, consciousness, and spirituality that has been formed wrong. That's the good meaning. Blast it, break it down. And the bad meaning is to blast the natural order of man's mind, conscience, and spirituality so that lies can come in. And I think I repeated it so that it's clear before you. At first it was confused. You understand now? Yes. Yeah. All right, so that's the blasting of the horn. And it's an ancient idea, too. The Bible says that before the cock crows three times, Jesus' disciples would have betrayed him. Peter would have betrayed him. Is that right? The cock crowing three times is an old ancient idea of this same old ancient, pardon me, expression of this same idea. Before the horn was made, the rooster was used. Before the cock crows three times. Then when the horn was invented, the horn was used. Before the horn blasts three times. You read the book of Zacharias and you'll find that. It's not many chapters, it's a small book. You'll find where Joshua was seen standing by Satan with filthy clothes on. That's this Christian Trinitarianism that has spread all over the world with Jesus in it. They have put Jesus in filthy clothes. Jesus was a holy prophet. All these filthy lies about God is not true, against God is not true of Jesus. Jesus, the real Jesus, was a holy and faithful prophet. But they put the filthy lies on it. And the good movement of the religious people on this earth pointed it out and left it in the Bible for us to see that there's coming a time when Jesus will be seen in filthy garments. And look how they show Jesus on the cross, like a naked savage. They used to show him a little thing on like a wild Tarzan in the jungle. Isn't that right? Yes. Just half-dressed. Looking all frail and sick. Now they are accepting to take him down off the cross. And many churches are even taking the cross down now. But look at the presence of Jesus in this society. Still he's wearing filthy clothes. The morals of the and virtues of the Christian society is still filthy. All you can think about is doing the worm, shaking your booty. Lust, lust, lust. The animal got more development, more civilized development than this society. Even the dog got more civilized development than this society. You don't find dogs with sex on their mind all the time. But this society has to keep sex on its mind all the time. Just can't function unless it's with sex. Can't enjoy your activities unless sex is in it. Filthy sick society. Sex is a beautiful thing. Sex is a sacred thing.
Sex power is very important in the evolution of the human species. It teaches him to love his mate that gives him satisfaction. It teaches her to love her mate that gives her satisfaction. It teaches both of them to love the product of this act that gave us satisfaction. But when you do it with no respect for each other and no respect for what God has created, you get satisfaction but no sense and no love for each other. Families break up, husband and wives are against each other. Pitiful, pitiful society. Now, I want to say a few more words to you, and don't worry about what you had to do today. This is a holiday. Every time you hear me, it's a holiday. You take off. Because God is feeding you understanding that will better your life and save it. Now they wonder how come we changed our name to Bedalian. It was suggested to me. It wasn't my original idea. It was suggested to me by an Egyptian. After hearing me talk about Belial and seeing what I was saying, trying to suggest to my people that Belial is a good ancestor figure to keep in our minds, since we have no ancestry to identify with except Africa, and Africa is a big, big continent. There is no ancestor figure to connect all of us. But if we take one that is a Muslim, and if we come from this different ideologies and philosophies and crazy spiritualities that we have been put in, and accept al-Islam, al-Islam can unify us under one Quran, one God, one book, one Prophet Muhammad. And it can also give us ancestry that is Islam, that is a Muslim, that all of us can point to. We don't need to have any special one. We don't care whether he's Sudan. We don't care whether he's Ghanaian. He can be from Sierra Leone. He can be from Ethiopia. We don't care where he's from, as long as he's from the motherland. And what is wrong with us tracing our identity back in order to gain some sense of ethnic solidarity, of ethnic unity? What is wrong with us tracing our ancestry back to Belial? Nothing is wrong with that. A decent, upright man, a faithful follower of Prophet Muhammad, and a great sign of what is happening right now here in Chicago. Because Prophet Muhammad told him, go on top of the Kaaba and call these people to worship. And Belial climbed up the Kaaba and got on top of the Kaaba, and he called the people to worship. And Prophet Muhammad, the peace be upon him, again said, I saw something in a vision. And they said, what was it, dear Prophet? He said, I heard the feet of someone walking into the paradise ahead of us. And they said, who was that, the apostle? He said, it was Belial. Not that we'll go into paradise ahead of Prophet Muhammad and his companions, but that we'll go into the paradise of the understanding of his religion before the Arab. And the prophecy has come true. If you understand what I'm saying to you, take it to the highest man in Arabia. Take it to the highest man in Mecca. Take it to the highest man in Egypt and Asha University. Take it over this world. If you find anybody that can match it, I'll die right now. And how do I know they can't match it? I know because God didn't give it to them. He gave it to me. Believe it or not, Prophet Muhammad brought the universal religion, but the understanding of it that will light this world was not given to the Arabs. It is being given to me. Right. And I repeat, I want nothing from you. Not even thank you. My God, he blesses me and rewards me most generously. I don't need anything from you. But you need to give something to Allah. You need to praise Allah that he has raised up Wallace D. Muhammad. And until you do that, your life is not going to be worth a pound. You think God will aid a people that he gives such a great blessing to? Of their own flesh, and they being the lowest, the most deprived, culturally deprived of all the people of the earth, and then he give them that great knowledge that will raise them above or equal and above all the other people on earth, and then they refuse it because it came through one of their own kind. Do you think that God will continue to bless a people like that? Read the Bible and you find in the Bible a kind of a discussion of a problem, and at the end comes ho ho, H-O-H-O, capital H-O, capital H-O, ho ho, and finally ho ho ho. They're playing on two things. Who, because in the Semitic language, ho is not ho, is who. This word, who. Classically pronounced whoa, but pronounced in common language, who. Man who. You don't have to say man whoa. Man who? Who is he? Who? He? He? Who? So, who is the Semitic word for he, but a play on who? Ho ho? Who who? Who is doing these things? Who who? Now, that's the Jacobite mentality. Satan's mentality is to laugh at you and play games with you. Then look what I've done now. I've brought this thing out of your hands again, and I got it again. Hoo-hoo! Who did it? Who did it? Last night, night before, 24 robbers was at my door. I got up and let them in. But I hit them on the head with a rolling pin. All around my goo is it. Ho, ho, ho. Who, who? You say God the Father? You say God the Son? You say God the Holy Ghost? Who, who, who? It's not who, who, who. It's ho, ho, ho. Three whores. Ho, ho, ho. Ancient Babylon was a whore. Modern Babylon was a whore. And now you a whore. I made the world three whores. Ho, ho, ho. You think I'm joking? You're pitiful if you think I'm joking. And the reindeer has to have a red nose. The nose is the organ through which God breathed the spirit of life, according to the Genesis symbolism. That he breathed the breath of his own nostrils into the nostrils of the man, and the man became a living soul. Is that right? Now here is a reindeer with a big red nose. Instead of the knowledge that God has given him in his nostrils is now a big lustful ball, just a red heated lust-filled ball. And Christmas, after the Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer come around, or even before he come around, most of you going to be drinking liquors, committing adultery and fornication, kicking your booty, doing the worm and every other kind of filthy, unclean thing. Is that right or wrong? So he has turned your world into a red ball. Ho, ho, ho. Assalamu alaikum, and catch yourself.